no role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about a LinkedIn article that I saw that I just really, really loved. And it just got the kind of the juices flowing in terms of what I was thinking about. I have a lot of history with this kind of topic here and the conversations I've had with people. You and I have discussed it many times, kind of in general and in different contexts. But the title of the article is called How to Find a Job You Love. And it was published about a week ago on LinkedIn by Andrew Seaman, who's the senior editor for Job Search and Careers at LinkedIn News. And we'll post a link to the article in the podcast description if you want to check it out. It's definitely worth doing it. It seems like a rather kind of like, you know, boring title. It's not clickbaity. It's how to find a job you love. Great. Well, we all want to love our jobs, right? You know, I've done jobs in the past that I loved. I've done jobs in the past that I didn't like. I think it's very rare to find a job where 100% of the time you're doing something that you love. The people who have found that, I think I envy them. I think what a lot of people hope for is to do more of what you love. If you have to work 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week, that you try to get as many of those hours doing something you're passionate about, something you love. And then you know that there's going to be some things in there that you're not quite as passionate about. But you know, you read the article too. What were your thoughts on this? I mean, have you had to do jobs you didn't like in the past? And how did you change that?
No, absolutely. Well, I quit.
There you go.
I think it's what I like about it is it's like the job that you love, not necessarily like the industry or a specific company.
Yes.
But just the job, like the things that you do day in and day out, because you're absolutely right. There are going to be any parts of any job. Even if you say like you're a creative person, you're an entrepreneur, you know, let's say that you're somebody who loves to paint and then you paint full time. Well, guess what? You still have to sell your artwork.
Right.
And when you have to sell your artwork, you still have to deal with people in galleries, and you still the anxiety of will people buy it and what's the right price and there's a lot of things that come with anything that we do that you might not love. But at the end of the day, finding out exactly, you know, what you enjoy and how you not only enjoy the thing that you're doing, but what are you learning while you're doing it? And do you have a plan or a strategy or a goal that you're looking to achieve? I think so much of that is also a part of kind of quote unquote finding the job that you love. You know, I love leadership mostly because I really enjoy hanging out with people and having dialogue and conversation and sharing my stories and my examples and my mistakes and hearing others and helping them to connect dots that help them to be successful in life.
Yeah.
And that's what I get to do most of the time. And there are definitely hours of the week that I dread, and you could ask anybody who's worked with me and they'll probably tell you exactly what those things are, because when I'm done doing them, I complain about it. I'm just like, I just spent X amount of hours doing something that I hate doing, but it's a part of my job and I have to do it and I got to do it well. So I'm going to make sure I get it done. But I think that's kind of the idea. That's what I enjoyed about the article, was that there was some really good content and some perspective and some questions and things that kind of drum about, like, how do you figure that out? And what are the questions that you should be asking yourself as you look for a job that you could possibly really, really love?
Right, right. I think, you know, because in the example you gave there, what's the alternative? I guess the alternative, if you want to eliminate those things that drain you, the things that you complain about, in most cases, that means also eliminating the things that you love about the job too. And it really just comes down to a trade-off. Is it worth eliminating both, right? It's no different than any relationship. Nobody who is married has truly nothing that they would complain about their spouse about. But the overall picture is positive, hopefully, or you wouldn't be in the relationship. You know, it's the I love you in spite of this, you know, and it's I think it's the same thing with a lot of jobs. I think that it's why it's so important to have different jobs, to work for different organizations. I love that how, you know, 20 years ago, maybe that's even too long, even 15 years ago, If a resume had three jobs inside of 5 years, that would be a major red flag to like stay away from this person. They're a job hopper or whatever. Now I feel like if there's one job for 15 years on the resume, that's what they've been doing. It's completely suspect to me. It's like, wait a minute. You know, this person hasn't taken whatever they've done, their skills. They haven't used that as a springboard into something bigger and better for themselves and another organization. I start to wonder why that is too. And you can ask questions, kind of figure that out. But I like that the trend is such that we don't hold people negatively accountable to just changing jobs, because it's so important to love what you do. And the more experience you have in different places, the more you kind of figure out what are your non-negotiables, what are things that you won't put up with versus what are things that you will. It's why most people shouldn't marry the person they started dating when they were 14 years old first, you know, and stay with you should date, right? You should have different people so that you can kind of know what you will tolerate and what you won't. No different than a job. The thing that I keep going back to when it comes to this article and when it comes to loving your job is this idea of intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. You know, and my background is in psychology. I love the example you gave about being an artist and then having to sell your paintings. I look back years ago to the Major League Baseball strike. Remember when the players went on strike and it was about pay? They all thought they were being paid too little. In order to make it to be a Major League Baseball player, you probably had to do nothing but baseball every waking hour of your life, of your existence, for years and years and years and years and years. With how many people want to go, how few people make it. These are people who probably played 40 or 50, maybe even 60 hours of baseball a week for 5, 10, 15 years in order to be able to get to this level. You can't do something like that unless you absolutely love it. There's no way you can force yourself to. You have to love it. So then if you love something that much, and you're already making, you know, millions of dollars a year, what would make you say, oh, I'm not making enough to do this anymore? Well, it's because the love of it, what you got out of it that had nothing to do with money, has been wholly replaced by the money you're being paid to do it. What you loved about it, the intrinsic motivation of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to play, to practice, to just put your whole life into it, that has been completely eliminated by the existence of this paycheck that is now tied to it. And the example you gave about the artist, I think that ties right in. I think there are a lot of people who love painting, but the moment they have to sell their art and deal with gallery owners, that is so draining to them that it makes them actually not want to paint anymore. And I think that's why it's important to find something that you love, not that what you do is something you love, but to go through the motions of the things about it that you know you're not going to like and see if it's still worth it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's one of those things. Sometimes there's things where you're like, I enjoy what I do. Like,
right.
I you know, I think that I'm good at it, or I feel that I'm like fairly compensated for what I bring in skill-wise and things like that. And it's not like people sometimes haven't really sat back to think about, like, do I actually love this work? And what does it mean by that? Is it just that I do this work and I get paid, but I really love this other thing? And I think that sometimes when you're in that transition and you, in whatever age you are and whatever you're figuring out, maybe you're doing something, you enjoy it, you get paid well, you know, but you're also like, I just don't love this. Like I could leave tomorrow and I'd be perfectly fine, and I wouldn't have to do this job another day in my life, and I'd be fine with it. Like, that's okay. I think what you should be thinking about, though, is what is it that you love? Like, if it's not this, that's okay. You can enjoy it. It can be fun. You could be good at it. But if you don't love it, what do you love? And what are you doing with the time right now? So if you do have a job, like I think of it from being a creative person myself, right? If I have a full-time job that I like, that it's enjoyable most of the time, and I'm good at it, but I really love this other thing, what am I doing in that job that's helping me to really shape, build skill, understand, give me experiences that I can take with me into the thing that I really, really, really love? And that's just something that I think sometimes people, they miss that part of it. They kind of feel like there's the job that I do, then there's the thing that I love, and they have a hard time connecting the two things. And then I think when you start to ask yourself those questions and do some of that work and think about what you can do in your current job, you start to find a certain love for it because maybe you're learning, maybe you're growing, maybe you're being challenged to take on additional responsibilities, maybe you're being pushed to exceed your own expectations. And by doing that, you're starting to realize, wow, I'm gaining a lot of things, whether it's skills or competence towards the thing that I love simply by being here. So it's interesting to me because I think that there are a lot of people that love the work. Then I think there are a lot of people that like the work, but they have not yet figured out how to connect that work to the thing that they love. And so they're missing out on the opportunity to really shape what they're doing so that they can apply it to the thing that they love going forward.
Yeah, I think you're saying this to me, and what I'm hearing is Simon Sinek's golden circle. I'm hearing the find your why, basically. Like, why do you work at all? You know, like, what is it that you... What's your North Star? What is it that is the non-negotiable of whatever I do for work? It has to check off this box. And if you don't start with defining that for yourself, it's going to be really, really hard to find a job that you love because you're in essence just trying things out. And then you're only able to define whether a job is good or bad for you in the context of how it relates to another job, but not in the context of how it relates to what you've defined for yourself as that thing that is so important to you. I remember in 2006, so a long time ago now, I was having a conversation with the then CEO of Best Buy, Brett. His name is Brett Anderson, and we were talking about pay for home theater and appliance installers, because at that time, there was a huge problem in consumer electronics retail, not just at Best Buy, but everywhere, of installers for home theater systems and appliances really job hopping from company to company to company, trying to increase their pay as much as possible, to the point where people would come in and work and let's call it, they're at $20 an hour, and then 8 months later they'd leave for another job. And what was the catalyst in leaving? They were getting paid $21 an hour instead. That was why they decided to change companies to do something, the same thing for a different company. If a person is willing to do that for a 5% pay increase after only being with a job for a certain number of months, that is their thing. It's the money. That is the thing. That's what it's become because of their lack of ability to define what it really is. And we had a really robust conversation over around this concept of if you've never known a job that you truly, truly love, it's really hard to say whether you love a job. It's like, how do you say whether or not you ask somebody, have you ever been in love? If they go, I think so. Nope, you haven't, right? Like, if you just think you have, then you haven't. Because if you have been, you just know, and there's no way to define it. If you've worked a job that you truly have loved to the point where it just wasn't work anymore, to the point where the BS stuff that you talk about having to deal with, where you know it's a part of it, and it's like you get through it, but it's not worth leaving the job. If you're to that part in your life where you have something like that, or you've ever had something like that, you know what it is that you can't compromise on, and you know what it is that is your why, or what is the thing that really just drives you, the thing that means that, you know, I know I have to work for 40 years before I can retire or whatever it is. I have to be able to do this, otherwise I'm going to burn out in 5, not in 40. And I think there are so many people out there who've never had a job that they loved. They've just had jobs that they tolerate, or jobs that they can't wait to leave and go home. It doesn't kill them. You know, it's fine. It is what it is. But it's not something they love. And it's so important to experience that. But it is a double-edged sword, because once you experience it, it's so hard to do anything different than that. It's virtually impossible to work for more than 6 months or a year doing something that doesn't check that box for you if you know what it feels like to have it checked.
I totally agree with that. And I think that it's a lot of conversations I have with people is like gaining perspective. And my hope is that people gain perspective and then have an opportunity to work, with a team in an organization with a culture where they can say that they love it, or they can truly see what they're getting out of it from a value standpoint and how it's helping them. But there are a lot of times, you know, where people, you know, have done it for a long time, or they just they've replaced the love for what they've done with either the pay or the comfort of having the job or whatever the case is. But I think just in life in general, you have to have that. I can't imagine having the first job be the one that you love, because I don't think you really understand that until you're gone. Like, I think it's super hard to have your first experience be something where you, you know, where it is something that you really, really, really enjoy and that you say that you love. I don't know that you can say that, that's the case. It's kind of like what you're saying about relationships is like, you know, okay, you have the first relationship and you say that you're in love, but it's really probably not until maybe the second or third relationship where you start to actually understand what that means and what it feels like
right.
and what it actually is. For most people, I don't know. You know, it's always like when you side-eye people that was like, oh, you know, we met when we were 14 and 15 and, you know, now we're married and you're just kind of like, okay, like good yeah. for you,
right?
Good for you. But you know, maybe it's just like, you just don't know, or, and maybe it is a perfect thing. I don't know.
Sure.
But it's the same thing in work though. It's just kind of like, I truly believe you have to have some elements of perspective to then be able to have the comparison of a job that you like, a job that you definitely don't ever want to do again, and then the job that provides you the time to do the things that you really love.
I also think that it is something that comes with just experience. And I was going to say age, but it's not age. It's just experience. And you can have that experience in it might take you 3 years, it might take you 10 years, but the experience of just I guess what it is is patience. It's experience that brings you the patience to understand that you won't be able to accurately answer the questions of whether or not you love a job until you've done it long enough to know what it is that the job is, whether or not it checks that off. And so I think if you're job hopping every 6 months or a year, there better be some really compelling reasons. Like there needs to be something that like, oh, this company was expecting me to do something unethical. Great. Get out of there. You know, whatever it is that you have non-negotiables, you shouldn't compromise on them. And if you have the courage to be able to not compromise on them and leave an organization because of it not, you know, hitting those things, then more power to you. But if it's not doing any of that, if it's just that you're not sure whether or not you love it, you don't need to fall head over heels in love with a job on day two in order to say, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You can fall into it over time. You fall into it based on the commitment to doing great work of the people you surround yourself with, the leadership that supports you or doesn't support you, the potential for growth, the ability to see how this job will allow you to accomplish the things in your personal life that you want to do, whether that's buy a house or work from home or work as little hours as possible or work as many hours as possible, whatever it is that you want to get done. It needs to be able to do those things for you. It's just not possible to figure that out in a very short period of time. And I think that the longer I've been in the workforce, the more I just kind of like, you know, we say the words trust the process. That's what it comes down to. It's trust the process that if nothing is, you know, it's like we go use the dating references. You know, I don't know that I necessarily want to marry somebody after the first date, but I definitely know whether or not I want to have a second date. Right? And that's all that matters. Is after each day, all you have to answer is, do I want to come back tomorrow? Not do I want to be here for the next 30 years? And I think the more people answer that first question versus the second one, the more it puts things into perspective and allows them to invest the time necessary to decide, is this a job that I truly love?
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out a pen and paper, and I want you to write down this question. What makes your heart full? It's directly from the article. It's a quote from Amy Boatwright, who's a recruiting specialist, quoted in the LinkedIn article that we'll post in the podcast description. And I want you to answer this question not in the context of work, but in the context of everything. What is it that makes you fulfilled, that makes you feel fulfilled at the end of the day? And it could be something work-related. If it is, that's great, because that means you're down the right path at least. If it's not work-related at all, if it's something else, that is what you should be trying to have as part of your life and as part of your work life. So get that question answered. Keep it folded up in your pocket or your wallet or something you reference back. The more you can make it so your job lets you do things that make you feel fulfilled at the end of the day, the more likely you are to say, I love this job, and the less hours you spend doing it, the less likely you are to say that. If you're doing 0 hours a week towards what makes you feel fulfilled at the end of the day, there's no question about it. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing. You should be doing something else if it's zero. If it's more than zero, but less than every hour, then you're in a starting point right there, and you have to decide whether or not it's enough for you. But start with that question, what makes you feel fulfilled at the end of the day? And I think that's going to point you at least in the right direction of making sure you have a job that you love.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, not only for making sure that you can think about what your guiding light, your North Star, but also like how do you recharge your batteries? Because I think that that's part of what I see in my career, in my jobs, is that there are those times when you're doing things that, you know, like I said, we say that, oh, we hate to do it. We don't really mean that we hate it. It's just draining. It's just something that you don't really want to do. It doesn't give you energy,
right?
But you also accept that it's a part of your job. But by knowing what fulfills me, by knowing what gives me energy, by knowing what reminds me about the job that I really love, and making sure that I add those things in, especially on those days when maybe you're having to spend some time kind of being drained in the work, finding the places to recharge yourself and find the energy back is super helpful in balancing out the day. And then you very quickly forget about and pass aside the things that are draining to you, because now you're just, you know, back on cloud nine again, and you're enjoying and remembering why you're there to begin with.
Yeah, that's so true. If what fulfills you at the end of the day is you saying to yourself, oh, what fulfills me is going to the gym for an hour after I get done with work because it allows me to put down the stresses of work, well, then you should go run a gym. You know, you should go get a job at a gym, either as a personal trainer if you can do it, or if your passion is leadership but you love going to the gym, go run a gym, go apply to be a general manager of a gym, you know, whatever it is. If your passion is going home and playing with your dog at the end of the day, or you know, pets or animals when you get home from work, then go run an animal shelter, you know, go run a pet store, you know, go start a business walking dogs or whatever it is. Do something in your life, add something into your life. And I don't necessarily mean quit your job and go do this, but add some of that into your life and decide if, wait a minute, is this part of my day the best part of my day? And if it is, then you can slowly migrate into doing more and more of that and less of the other things until at some point it becomes a no-brainer where this has to become your new way of paying the bills. It allows you to kind of try things out and make sure that you're doing the right thing before you just kind of jump ship, because you also don't want to, you know, put everything your entire life into upheaval every year, every 2 years, because you whimsically decided you love this day. So it has to be methodical. It has to be kind of well thought out. But at some point, you do have to follow your heart.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.